Good morning, everyone. We are in Acts chapter 24, and Paul has been waiting for trial, and the high priest is going to come to Caesarea and make their case against Paul before Felix. Now, after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders with an attorney named Tertullus, and they brought charges to the governor against Paul. And after Paul had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "As we have attained much peace through you, and because of your provision, reforms are being carried out for this nation. We welcome this in every way and everywhere, most excellent Felix, with all thankfulness. But that I may not weary you any further, I plead with you by your forbearance to hear us briefly." And, you know, obviously this attorney is trying to make it sound good before Felix that they highly respect him, or that he has led well. In history, he may have done some things better than others in the past, but nonetheless, this is not a great guy, and I'll explain that more as we go in a second. He was under, like a lot of leaders though, under pressure to not have there be dysfunction in the land that he's governing. And if things were done against the Jews in an unruly manner, a lot of times the Jews had a voice to Rome and would make complaints against the leadership. And then as a result of that, the leader of their region would get pressure, and they would have to try to govern in such a way that they governed rightly, but also that they wouldn't be criticized, especially for wrongdoing amongst the people above them. And there's some of that in Felix's life, that he didn't always handle things well and was under pressure. So, you know, this attorney, though, is coming to show respect because he wants to have Felix listen to his side of the story. "We have found this man," Tertullus says about Paul, "a real pest and a fellow who stirs up dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." That's interesting, you know, because Jesus was of Nazareth. Apparently, some Christians, or was called a sect of the Nazarenes. And, you know, in reality, Paul's not doing anything wrong. He's just explaining to them how their Jewish Messiah has begun changing things, but they don't want change. So this is basically persecution against the gospel, and it happens all the time, and it happens today. You know, sometimes people won't like you just because you're Christian, because of what you stand for, and they might not even know it, but they don't want to be told what's right, what's wrong. They don't want to be told of your Christian way or rule, so they're going to attack you because of your faith, and it's happening to the Apostle Paul. "And he even tried to desecrate the temple, and then we arrested him." So they're saying he tried to desecrate the temple because a Gentile was allowed in. And, you know, so they call that desecrating. "We wanted to judge him according to our own law, but Lysias," this is the commander who came to Paul's defense, to sort of speak, and put down the riot, "the commander came along and with much violence took him out of our hands, ordering his accusers to come before you. By examining him yourself concerning all these matters, you will be able to ascertain the things of which we accuse him." And the Jews also joined in the attack, asserting that these things were so. So he's saying, yes, the Jewish nation is behind the Sanhedrin and behind me as an attorney. Everyone's agreeing that we're against Paul. So that was their opening. "And when the governor had nodded for him to speak, Paul answered." So now Paul's going to get his opportunity to make a defense. And here's what Paul says: "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge to this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. Since you are able to ascertain the fact that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and neither in the temple nor in the synagogue nor across the city did they find me carrying on a discussion with anyone or causing a riot, Now they are able to prove to you, nor are they able to prove to you of what they are now accusing me. Remember, Paul was trying to come in to Jerusalem, earning the respect of Jews. And, you know, he was actually going to try to play it safe for a while, but they were already stirred up before he came. And there was reports that he brought a Gentile into the temple area, and they were already ready to riot without even him even saying a word. So he really didn't do anything. Now, this I confess to you, that according to the way, and I love that Paul again is calling him a follower of the way, which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers. So, you know, that's an interesting statement, because he's saying by following the way, by following Jesus, I am actually serving the God of our fathers, because Jesus is an extension of God, and literally Emmanuel, God with us, and also God's son. But he's not turning away from the God of our fathers, because the God of our fathers sent Jesus. And Paul says, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets. And it's not that he doesn't believe in the Old Testament or the prophets. They point to Jesus. It's just that now in the new covenant, a change is being ushered in, but he still relies on the foundation of Judaism and the foundation of the Old Testament. And he's saying, having a hope in God, for which these men are waiting, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous, the righteous to heaven or to the eternal kingdom, and the unrighteous to eternal hell. That they're both going to be resurrected, by the way, one day, one to the eternity and one to hell at the lake of fire. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a conscience without fault before God and before men. So Paul's saying, hey, I go through great lengths to honor God and try to honor men. I do, you know, sometimes honoring God, though, it will mean that if people may disagree with you or disagree with Paul and what he's saying, but in those cases, he's trying to honor God and the new covenant that has now come through Jesus. Now, after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, in which they found me having been purified in the temple. Remember, he purified himself, if you recall, before he came into Jerusalem without any crowd or uproar. But there were some Jews from Asia, Turkey area, who ought to have been present before you and to make accusation if they should have anything against me, or else let these men themselves tell what wrongdoing they found when I stood before the Sanhedrin. Remember, Paul got before the Sanhedrin and right away they hit him in the face. You might recall that in the previous chapter. Other than for this one statement, I shouted while standing among them, for the resurrection of the dead, I am on trial before you. And remember, Paul used that he believes in the resurrection, and it ended up being that the Sanhedrin, who split on that issue, you know, ended up debating one another. But that's as far as he really got, you know, with them. But Felix, having a more accurate knowledge about the way. So Felix understood a little bit about Christianity. And it kind of makes it sound like, well, maybe this is a good guy. But let me share with you some things that I learned as well in preparing for you. Felix, having an accurate knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will decide your case. Then he gave orders to the centurion for him, Paul, to be kept in custody and yet have some rest, and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. So it sounds like it wasn't too bad, the imprisonment, so to speak, that he was under Felix. But they're going to wait for that commander to come down to basically state what he saw that day. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and summoned Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. Now, this is really interesting, because they're going to have a private sermon, Felix and his wife Drusilla, about Jesus. But before I go any further, this is interesting. So Drusilla was a very young lady, apparently attractive, and Felix was able to convince her to divorce her husband to marry him. Drusilla was a daughter of, I believe it was, Herod Agrippa. And So he kind of married, you know, whatever, into a noble family, his wife was. Now, the Drusilla's family are the ones who tried to kill Jesus. They killed John the Baptist, and Drusilla's family also killed James, one of the apostles. So this family has been evil towards the way of Jesus. And also, as I mentioned, he's living up. I mean, he's marrying this woman who he convinced to divorce her husband. So there's just lots of mess here and things not done right. But they did want to hear about Jesus. But as Paul was discussing righteousness, now think about that. He's discussing righteousness. Now, that's the righteousness that we obtain through Jesus Christ, through faith. But we're also supposed to try to live righteously, aren't we? And self-control and the judgment to come. And he's basically saying, Paul, that, you know what, when we don't follow Jesus and we don't have his righteousness through faith in him, one day we're going to stand before the judge. We're going to stand before the author of life, and he's going to judge us. And what we need is to trust in Jesus and his sacrifice for our sins in order to be made right before God. And when Felix heard all this, Felix became frightened. Well, he's not living a righteous life by any means. He hasn't trusted in Jesus. And even his marriage is not good. So he became frightened about this and said, go away for the present, and when I find time, I will call for you. So maybe he's going to hear from him again. But right now, he didn't want to hear anymore, because right now, the way that he was living his life, apart from faith in Jesus, he was going to come under judgment. At the same time, he was also hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to summon him quite often and converse with him. That's interesting. And apparently, that there were a lot of times a prisoner would try to buy their way out of prison. And I don't know, maybe this guy wasn't as wealthy as he seemed, and he had hoped Paul would try to bribe himself out of prison, which he didn't do. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. So he is not free from prison. Festus has moved on. And it's great that Paul's getting a chance to share with Festus. But so far, we don't know that he has made any progress with him coming to faith. So here we have it again, another cliffhanger. And we're going to see Paul now continue to get questioned by leadership and continue to be able to share what happened and also be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? Just as Felix is going to be judged one day, we're all going to be judged one day. Have you given your life to Jesus? We've all done wrong, haven't we? Felix isn't the only one who's done wrong in his life. All of us have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And hopefully for that Felix, before his time came, he accepted Christ as his Savior. And may we do that. Hallelujah. Let's accept Jesus, because he wants to take what's wrong in us and forgive us of our sins and give us the promise of eternal life and strengthen us now through his Holy Spirit to live for him now. What a glorious gospel it is. It is good news. And it's awesome that Paul, no matter where he is, finds a way to share the good news. And may we do that as well. God bless you all.